Have you ever been so pumped up for the new year and unleashed a badass new goal and you hit it hard for the first 2 weeks of January and then by week three, things start to fall apart. By week four, you've quit. 8 months later, you find your goal written down on a piece of paper and you think to yourself, oh yeah, I remember that. Well, if that's you, don't worry because 92% of the people out there fail at their goals. But on today's episode, we're going to fix that. I'm going to put you right in the 8% of goal setters that absolutely crush it. Welcome to the High Value Skills Podcast. I am your host, Simon Parsons, and this is the show dedicated to helping millennials move away from a career that you hate and build an online business that you love, one that gives you the freedom and the income that you deserve. Now, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Let's dive in. What is up, all you badass digital entrepreneurs? Thank you so much for joining me here today. It is getting close to the end of the year, and I'm sure like most of you, you're enjoying the holidays, but also thinking about what it is that you want to make happen in 2024, especially if you're listening to this podcast, because I know that you are absolutely driven, and this is the time where I start to recalibrate as well. So I thought it'd be a good episode today to start talking about how to absolutely dominate your goals for 2024. And I wanted to share with you some really cool stuff, including why it is that I believe that most people fail at their goals. Okay. And that's been me as well. Why I hate SMART goals. I'm going to explain what SMART goals are. It's kind of like corporate-ish goals. But then we're going to get into the nuggets of my five-step process for absolutely crushing any goal that you put in front of you. All right. Well, let's dive in. Okay. So here's the thing. Let's talk about why it is that most people don't succeed at their goals. Why is it that the failure rate is so high? Well, this is where mindset work really comes into play. And in my opinion, the reason why most people fail at their goals is they aren't setting goals that are big enough to light them up. I want you to get out of bed absolutely pumped and stoked to make it happen, right? I often talk about on this podcast how I wake up early in the morning. I get up at about 5 o'clock without an alarm. There's no snoozing going on. In fact, I don't even have an alarm to snooze. And I wake up anywhere between 5 and 6. But what happens is around 5 o'clock, I start waking up because I'm excited for the day. I am excited to get out of bed and absolutely crush it, right? So that's what gets me up. It lights me up because I have goals that are huge that make me excited. They make me passionate and I want to make them happen. Now, here's the problem. Here's why people don't set goals that are big enough to light them up so they get up in the morning without an alarm clock is because of fear of failure. They're afraid that they're not going to be able to make it happen. But once you start getting into the mindset where like it doesn't matter, there's no such thing as failure, and you go after it, then it changes everything. The other thing too is I think that people think it's not possible, right? They don't think big enough because they don't think it's possible because they haven't experienced that reality. They don't have enough past history or data to make that happen. I'm going to share an example of this. So one of my favorite examples of this was when I first met one of my biggest mentors in my life. And we hopped on a call. This was around 2019. At this time, I was doing pretty well, right? I was making probably about $250,000 per year. I had a wonderful work-life balance. This was before I had a business, before I had a podcast, before I did any of this stuff, making good money in sales, tons of time with my family, absolutely enjoying life, just diving into personal development, getting really geeked out on this, right? So I thought I was in a pretty good place. No reason to change, but this mentor asked me, Simon, why aren't you making $1 million per year? And I was like, what? And the first thing that came to my mind was, I don't need $1 million. I'm doing just fine. I have plenty of money. I have plenty of time. Things are exactly where I want them to be. And he said to me, oh, so you're fat and happy. And I thought to myself, what does he mean by that? Fat and happy? And what he meant was like, it was just good enough for where I was at. And that was the moment that really, really changed my life because I realized that that was where my limiting beliefs were, was around $250,000 per year. And I thought to myself, well, I have plenty of money. I don't need any more. And then I realized that's just an excuse to keep me small, right? So there's some truth to it's not about the money and I don't necessarily need anymore, but it's also the excuse that came up when the flashlight was shown on me of where my limitations were. And I started to think, well, what would happen if I, like, what would it take to actually make $1 million per year? And I'm like, well, if he could do it, so can I. And then I thought, well, why am I not doing it? Well, because I haven't experienced that reality in the past and it didn't fit my current paradigm. And I didn't have the skill set or the mindset to be able to do that in my current form. And so what really got me excited was thinking about how do I become somebody who can create $1 million in 1 year? Now, here's the thing, is I still haven't hit that goal. I still haven't made $1 million in 1 year. But in 2022, I made it, like it took me a few years to actually wrap my head around that, to start wading into those territories. And in 2022, I felt like I was in a position where I could make that happen. And what actually happened was I ended up making, I failed miserably, but that isn't actually what happened. What happened is I set $1 million goal for 2022 to be able to bring in $1 million into my business, total revenue. And I think I ended up somewhere around $530,000 for that year. Now, you could say that I failed at that goal, but I look at that as a success because I made so much more money than I ever had in a year. And then 2023, I wasn't really clear about what I wanted. And my income actually went backwards in 2023 because I didn't have that clarity. I didn't set a big goal. But my point of saying this is I didn't have the fear of failure. And I looked at it as like, well, if I go for $1 million and I get half the way there, then I'm still doing pretty good because I've made so much progress towards that goal. So that's what I want you guys to think about is don't be afraid to set huge goals. What happens is we start to judge our own goals. We set our own limitations around those, and that's what really holds us back. So what you've got to do is think about what really lights you up to your core and then go after that unapologetically. And don't fear the failure because the person that you become along the way is the true value, right? What has happened to me is I've changed as far as my resourcefulness and my skill set. I may have failed at that goal, but I've learned so many new things. I've gotten better. I've improved as a person. I've changed my mindset. And that is the true value. It's not the $1 million. It's the person that you become on that journey, right? And here's the thing is the goal doesn't end there. The goal doesn't end in 2022, right? I didn't really get clear what I wanted to do in 2023. So I don't feel like I made a whole lot of movement in that direction. There was other areas where I did, where I felt like I was very successful, but I kind of let off the gas on that one. And it's something that I need to recalibrate towards because there's so much learning. There's so much that can come from the person that you create inside of yourself. So again, the reason why most people fail at their goals is they don't set them big enough to actually light them up. And that's why they forget about them. That's why it's not important enough, right? If something's not important to you, then why pay attention to it, right? So you've got to make it something that lights you up and something that you pay attention to and not something that you write down on a piece of paper and do for a couple of weeks and then forget about. Okay, so make it big and then just accept that there's no such thing as failure, right? Do it because you fear failure, right? Lean into that so it doesn't hold you back, okay? And then recognize that the reason why you're not thinking big enough is because you just haven't experienced that current reality in the past, or excuse me, you haven't experienced that in the past. So because you haven't experienced it, you're thinking within the box, right? So that brings me to my next point about SMART goals. I don't know if you know what SMART goals are, but this is kind of like common lingo in corporate settings. They always talk about SMART goals. SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. I remember when I started working in a corporate setting, they always talked about SMART goals. I'll tell you this. Well, first of all, they never got me excited. And here's why. Specific, yes. Measurable, yes. Attainable, what the fuck does attainable mean? Right? Anything's attainable if you have the right mindset. Same with realistic. I hate that word realistic. It reminds me of something that like your parents or your peers say when you are thinking big. Oh yeah, I want to start a podcast, or I want to do this. I used to want to be a cyclist in the Tour de France. I want to be a professional cyclist. Oh, well, you got to be realistic. What does that mean? It means that they don't have faith in you, or you don't have faith in yourself. So fuck being realistic. Be absolutely unrealistic. Go after it. Be as unrealistic as possible, right? Because if you are absolutely, think about all the great people who've done crazy things, and you know, like Elon Musk, right? Is he realistic? Fuck no, he's not realistic. Be unrealistic. Okay, time bound. I have an issue with time bound. I think that to an extent, there's some usefulness of having things that are time bound, but also I think having a time constraint on things really messes people up. Okay, because when you start to derail from being on track on something, then you let off the gas. I saw this in my first year of sales when I was working towards P Club, or what do I call it now? That's like internal lingo, President's Club. We call it P Club for sure. One of my clients, when I said P Club, she's like, "What? Do you guys like P?" No, President's Club. Okay, so President's Club is reserved for the top 10% in sales, and it's very, very, very difficult to do in your first year. And I remember during my first year, I was like, that is time bound, right? You have to do it in a year. But what's interesting is that first year, by September, I was only 25% of the way to the goal. And if I would have let off the gas because it didn't appear that I was tracking, then I would have failed at it. But what happened is I ended up being 125% to goal after the year, because what happens is things start to compound and there's like kind of an upward ramp on things. And I think that applies to a lot of things in life, right? You're building, 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 and then things start to compound. So I think time bound can be very elusive. And if you think you're not on track, sometimes you are, but you're not seeing the results because there's always a time delay. So you let off the gas. So I would say when it comes to time bound, be very careful about that. If it serves you, great. But a lot of times locking things in within a time frame can also screw you over. All right, let's dive into my 5-step process on how to absolutely crush your goals in 2024. I'm going to be doing this as well. I am doing this right now. So I want you to do it with me, okay? So if you're in a place where you're listening to this and you can't access a piece of paper to write down some notes, I want you to save this episode and I want you to revisit this, okay? If you are in a place where you can write some stuff down, do it now, okay? Let's do this. Let's do this together. All right, so here's what you're going to do when you have a blank piece of paper. There's going to be 5 different sections that I want you to write down. This doesn't mean that you need to come up with all of the answers to the things that I'm going to have you write down right now, but I want you to create the structure of this goal, okay? So the first part, step 1, what you need to do in the first section of this piece of paper is I want you to get very clear and quantifiable about what it is that you want to accomplish. Okay, so take your time on this. If you need to revisit this and think about it for a bit, but write this down, is that you need to have the first part of this is just have a very clear and quantifiable goal. Now, your mind is basically the most powerful supercomputer out there. And I like to think of goals as a GPS system, right? Your goal setting is a GPS system. And if you, in your car, if you want to go somewhere, you need to have very specific coordinates of where to go. Otherwise, the GPS system is going to be confused. Same with your mind. Your mind loves to be very specific about things. So if you type into your GPS system in your car, you're like, I want to go to the desert or the forest or the mountains, then the GPS system is going to be like, what? I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. So you've got to put specific coordinates into your GPS system. Otherwise, it won't know where to go. Same thing with your mind. Be very specific, be very clear, and be very quantifiable. So bad examples of goal setting is, I want to lose more weight, or I want to be more healthy, or I want to make more money. Well, what does that actually even mean? So you've got to learn to quantify those examples, right? Lose more weight. If you say you want to lose more weight, that could be like 1 pound or it could be 10 pounds. You want to be more healthy? Well, what does that even mean? You can feel more healthy, and sure, that there's some truth to that, right? You make more money. Well, if you make $201,000 instead of $200,000, you know, that you made the previous year, well, technically you've made your goal happen, but you haven't really moved the needle, right? So be very specific about what that looks like. For example, I want to beat the sales record. That was one that I had in 2019. So I knew the exact number that I had to come up with to make that happen. Bring in 1 million per year. So that was my 2022 goal. So that was very clear. In 2022, by December 31st, I had to bring in $1 million of revenue into my business. Okay. Here's another thing that I want you to do is use your five senses to create a visualization of what not only that looks like, but what that feels like. This episode isn't about visualization, but one thing I love is feeling things. I used to think visualization was like you were watching a movie screen of you doing something. But what I found is the most powerful visualizations is where you can actually feel it. And for example, if you're making 1 million in a year or breaking the sales record or whatever the number is, it doesn't seem like you can use all five senses, right? Because you're like, well, it's just a number. How do you feel, taste, and hear that? Well, think about what it's like after you accomplish that goal, what you're going to be doing. Like maybe you're celebrating with your family, or maybe there's a party at your work or whatever, or you just broken through with your business partners on something new. Think about the setting and where you're at. You know, I like to think about a celebration. Like I'm with my family and we're going out to dinner because we just crushed this goal and I'm eating this wonderful steak and it tastes so good. And I'm drinking some wine with my wife and I'm laughing with my kids. Or maybe it's like, okay, I've done this, so I'm going to go purchase the car that I really want. Or maybe it's your goal is to buy a house, right? And so instead of just seeing like the mortgage statement come through or whatever, you signing the documents, like visualize yourself like rolling up to that house for the very first time as the owner and you're getting out of the car and you have the keys and you slot them into the door for the first time and you crack the door open. You can smell that brand new paint and the new fresh carpet in there. You walk in there and you're so excited to think about the parties that you're going to be throwing there. That's what I'm talking about, getting a very vivid visualization of what that could look like, okay? All right, let's move on to step number two. Know your why, okay? Why is this important to you? Back a few months ago, I was talking about sales and how anybody does anything because of two basic things, either to move away from pain or to move towards pleasure. So on this step about your goal, why is your goal important to you? Find out what it is that you're trying to move away from and what you're trying to move towards. What's the pain you're moving away from? And what's the pleasure that you're moving towards? So, for example, in my business, like if I have a business goal, like I want to make $1 million per year, the pain I could be pulling into this is because I never want to experience the feeling of not being able to provide for my kids. Or it might be I'm moving away from the pain of almost going to bankruptcy, which happened to me, right? There was a point where I was in so much debt that I almost had to declare bankruptcy, and it was the most shameful and humiliating thing that I've ever gone through. So I'm going to think about that as like, I never want that to happen. Therefore, I am absolutely driven to make this goal happen, okay? But I could also think about the pleasure. What does that unlock for me, right? What is it? Well, I'm really interested in investing in real estate. That's very big to me right now. And I purchased my first home in 2023, my first investment property. I want to do another one in 2024. So that's something that could be very pleasurable to me. I want to take my kids to Cabo San Lucas, and I also want to take them to Disneyland next year. So those things are very pleasurable to me. So those are another part of my why, okay? Now, here's another painful thing for me is that I create in my own head is the regret of not living up to my fullest potential. So I always think about like when I get to the end of my life, do I want to be glad that I did it or regret that I didn't? So I use that as kind of a motivator as well. So again, create your own pain and pleasure, and you can get very vivid with this. And I encourage you to do this. Here's another part of step two too that I like to use is creating a cornerstone goal. And what that means is one goal that unlocks a bunch of other goals. Okay. So if I hit this one goal, then by default, I will hit a bunch of other goals. And I'll give you an example of that. So in 2019, my goal was to break the team record in sales. And what are some other things that are a byproduct of that that could be goals on their own, right? Well, if I hit that goal, then I'm also going to get my associate a bonus. I'm automatically going to hit President's Club. I'm automatically going to make $500,000 that year. So think about what is a cornerstone goal that would unlock a bunch of other you know, smaller goals, or not even necessarily smaller goals, but other badass goals, right? What is the one thing that will unlock so many other things? That's part of your why as well. Okay, let's move on to step number three, is to get accountability. This is huge. I used to hate accountability. I used to hate putting it out there. The reason why is because I was afraid of failure, right? So if you get rid of the ego, if you get rid of the fear of failure, then accountability can be an incredibly good thing. And accountability doesn't mean somebody's beating you over the head. It's just that they're checking in on you. And you're holding yourself accountable by having other people hold you accountable, right? So I'm talking about peers, friends. If you want, get a coach. I think coaches are really good at holding you accountable because you're actually paying them to do that. Join a mastermind, right? Join groups on Facebook or whatever. Find other people who are moving in the same direction. But here's the thing, is make sure that you're vocal about what it is. Ask them to hold you accountable. Ask them to check in on you. Set up times where you can have check-ins, right? This is where most people derail, is because they don't have anybody holding them accountable. So do yourself a favor. This is not something to be afraid of, like I used to be. Find somebody who will hold you accountable and they're actually really helping you out, okay? All right, step number four, how are you going to make this visible? I think one of the biggest things that people don't take advantage of is making sure that the goal is right in front of you. I made a joke at the very beginning of this episode of like goals that you set, you write them down on a piece of paper and then you forget about them until like 8 months later. That's happened to me before. But what I do now is I make sure that these goals are front of mind, in front of me. When I had the team sales record goal, I literally had the amount. It was $4,137,000, and I can't remember the rest of it, but I literally had that taped on my computer. The craziest thing happened was that when I beat that goal, it was by 0.005%. It was by the smallest number. We're talking, you know, a whole year, millions of dollars, and it came down to just like a couple hundred that I actually crossed the mark by, because you're visually priming yourself. That is sinking into your subconscious mind. So I'll do all kinds of crazy things, like my screen lock on my phone. Every time I turn on my phone, it has my goals right there in front of me so I can see them, right? And then my password, I set my password as my goal too. I geek out on this stuff. I have little sticky notes around my house. I have a vision board, right? And here's one that I don't do that I should, okay, is write down my goals daily. I need to get back into this. I'm going to do that. I'm committing right now, okay? And then again, make it public. Talk about it in the open. The reason why you don't is because you're afraid of failure, but be open about it and talk about it publicly. Talk about it to your friends, your family, the people who are holding you accountable. So make sure it's visible. The more it's visible, here's another thing too, is it becomes more comfortable to you. The thing is a lot of we fear things that are unfamiliar to us. And if you have a big goal, that's very unfamiliar. So it's very comfortable. So your mind will try to tuck you out of that. But the more that it's in front of you, the more that you become accustomed to it. So the less likely your subconscious is going to sabotage you, find ways to come up with excuses. Okay, so make it visible and put it in as many places as you can. Okay, the last part is the how. Create a detailed plan of action. Map it out. Architect this, right? Create the framework. Create the systems, the step-by-step. Here's what's crazy, is this is the least important part of this whole process, in my opinion. But you should still do it. But allow yourself to recalibrate. Sometimes if you're going in the wrong direction, you might have to recalibrate. People literally beat themselves up about it. They come up with a plan of action, and then they start to realize that it's not taking where, and then they get all flustered, and they're like, it's not working, and quit. Just recalibrate, right? That's totally, you can recalibrate your goal even. Just do the thing, right? Remember, the biggest benefit is the person that you become along the way, the skills that you acquire. The overall goal isn't even that important. It's the person that you become, okay? Allow yourself to recalibrate if you need to. If you need to push the time back, fine. If you need to recalibrate your plan of action, totally cool. I like to reverse engineer things. So a few weeks ago, I had Brian Lubin on the show, and his book, Passive to Passionate, he talks about a really cool way of doing this. He calls it to the annual to action plan. And what this is basically you talk about your annual goal and you think about what you need to do quarterly to hit that. And then you start to think about what do you need to do monthly to hit those quarterly goals? What do you need to do weekly to hit the monthly goal? And then what do you need to do daily? I'm talking your habits, the things you do on a day-to-day basis to hit your weekly goals. So reverse engineer it. Here's the thing about habits too, is they only take 66 days to form. Most people say it's 21. That's actually not true. It takes, on average, about 66 days to form a habit. So you only need to have discipline, right? Most people quit their goals after 3 weeks. But if you create habits and do them for 66 days, it becomes automatic. I don't have to think about working out. Okay, working out is not hard for me. Same with meditation. It's very pleasurable to me because I've been doing them for so long. I've been working out for decades, so I don't even have to think about it, right? After 66 days, this stuff starts to become wired in your brain and your body, and it's so much easier. So the habits that you need to do to create this, how can you do them for 60? How can you hold discipline for 66 days? Well, this whole goal plan will reinforce all of that, okay? So there you have it, my friends. I want you to go back and map this all out and let me know. Reach out to me on social media or drop some notes in the podcast. Let me know if you're actually doing this, okay? Again, here's the 5 steps. Step one is to make sure it's clear and quantifiable. Step number two is to know your why. Create some pain and pleasure to really dig into the drive and push you to make this happen, okay? Step number three is get some accountability. Find peers, join a mastermind or a group, or find a coach that can help you out with this and take it seriously. Sometimes friends and family aren't the best people to do that because they want to be nice to you. All right, step number four is make sure it's visible. How can you put this front of mind and not written on a piece of paper and stuffed into a drawer? Make sure that you are constantly seeing this and feeling it. Step number five is to create that detailed plan of action. Map it out into steps. Create a roadmap, right? I do this when I create a digital course, is I create a roadmap, and that helps out. Like, people will buy one course over another if you can literally create a visual of what that's going to look like. So map it out for yourself, okay? And here's the best thing is I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to you. This episode and most of my episodes, I'm like coaching myself, okay? So let's fucking do this, my friends. Let's think big. Remember, make this shit juicy. Make it so you're amped up. Get absolutely fired up and then go after it relentlessly and don't give a fuck about failure. Make it happen. All right, my friends, I will catch you on the next episode.